Okay, so Muksa Machmas Chisaron Kiss. So we, Rabbi Carmel, as he said, offered an introduction to the topic. So now we'll get back to it. So the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Nun Zayin, in source number one, tells us, as we've seen several times, that we in general paskin like Rabbi Shimon, that there is no mukta, but that's not across the board, because Rav Shimon does agree to certain categories of mukta, and that's what the Gemara says here. Rav Nachman, anu ein lanu ela beishamai ker Yehuda beishil ker Shimon. After a protracted discussion about this, the Gemara assumes that beishamai holds like Yehuda that there is mukta, beishil rules like Rav Shimon there is not mukta, and that's how we rule. And pligi baravacha ravina, chana rabachol shabbos kula aloch ker Shimon, v'var mi mukta machmas mius. U'mayniu near Yashan. So there's a machlokas. To what extent do we accept Rav Shimon? So the first position says that we don't accept Rav Shimon's position by muksa machmas mius, which we've already discussed. V'chad amar, b'muksa machmas mius nami aloch k'Rav Shimon. And one says, no, we do accept Rav Shimon's position. We reject muksa machmas mius. V'var mi muksa machmas isru, u'mayniu near shedliku b'avos or shabbos. But what he will agree that is prohibited is muksa machmas iser, meaning a candle that was lit on Shabbos. But then the Gemara tells you that whatever it is, that whatever cases that there are where we reject Rabbi Shimon, there's one case where even Rabbi Shimon himself agrees there is no machlokas at all. What's that machloka? What's that shita? What's that case? Muksa machmas charon kis. I'm a muksa machmas chisaron kis. Afilo Rabbi Shimon modef. Because our original sugya and kufchav gimel, these large, expensive kelim, so Rav Shimon agreed that it is mukta. So I reprinted in two, but I'm not going to read it because I've read it before. But I'll say it outside. Rav Elio Fisher notes in his Sefer Berachas Shabbos, that this is odd, because we know that this is not true. Rabbi Shimon does agree to other categories of mukta. Most strikingly, eitzim v'avanim, anything which is useless, sticks and stones, Rabbi Shimon agrees that they are mukta. So how can the Gemara tell you that Rabbi Shimon is only worried about mukta, machmas, chisar, and kis? I mean, the position that I've taken at this point in several shiurim, because I think it is the cleanest, is that the eitzim v'avanim, the reason that that's mukta, is because it's not a kli. And even Rav Shimon agrees that when something is useless, so that it's mukta because it's off limits, no one's using it. The chiddush of mukta machmas chisar and kis is that we're dealing with something which is a kli, which is a vessel, which is usable, absolutely usable. The only problem is that it's expensive and therefore you normally don't use it. And there, Rav Shimon, despite the fact that he normally shies away from saying that anything which is usable, despite the fact that we could use it, we'll say it's mukta machmas chisar and kis, even though it's a kli and it's usable, it is mukta. And that seems to be what's unique about mukta machmas chisar and kis. It's not eitzem vavanim. It's not that it's useless. It's obviously not useless. It's a super expensive, whatever, a glass, a super expensive bowl, I don't know, right? We'll see what exactly counts, but it's clearly usable. It's just that you don't, simply because it's too expensive, you put it on the side. This is the only case we know of where Rabbi Shimon says we have mukta, even though something is usable. And that's really the uniqueness of mukta, machmas, chisaron kis. If you look at three, the reason I, go in this direction in general is that, I think this is the simplest understanding. You look at Rashi. Rashi tells you, what does it mean that Shimon doesn't hold of mukta? He says, Dol maksa inish midaite midi dechazile. What does it mean he doesn't hold of mukta? It means that when something is usable, so someone doesn't push it aside, doesn't make it mukta. Now, therefore, Eitzim v'avanim, I don't need to explain why Reb Shimon agrees it's mukta, because that's not midi dechazile. That's not under the Reb Shimon's objection to the category of mukta. If something isn't chazile, if something isn't usable, so of course Reb Shimon agrees. Everyone agrees for whatever reason, right? And this was our first cheer, either because everyone agrees that in extreme cases, if something is pushed out of sight, out of mind, so it's mukta. Or alternatively, it's the radical lack of hachana, because if it's not usable, then it's assumed that it's not prepared. Whatever you want to say. But chisaron kis is the case where it's chazile, right? It is usable, and yet it is mukta. So that's how I would take Moksa Mechasar and Kiss. However, there are other positions. Yeah?
Doesn't Rabbi Shimon also say Moksa Machas Mitzvah is Asr?
So Moksa Machas Mitzvah is right, a mislabeled Mokta, right, as we...
Right, it's not really
right. It's not really mukta, right? It's
not anything.
And mukta machmas iser is mislabeled. Right, mukta machmas iser is mislabeled. Right, exactly. Right, mukta machmas mitzvah. Mukta machmas mitzvah, as we discussed, is true during the week. Right, you can't touch the sukkah even in a chol hamoed. Right, it's just that it spills over into Shabbos because once there's an iser of hana, so then it spills over into Shabbos that you aren't allowed to use it either. But it doesn't originate in the world of mukta. So that was the Ner Shid Liga Baba Shabbos, and that, again, how exactly that works, is that an extreme mukta, or is it, you know, a gzera that it might go out, or is it whatever exactly it is. But at any rate, I think this is the smoothest way of understanding the uniqueness of mukta machsaron kiss, which is why, as we'll see, Poskim will deal with, we'll have to deal with this possibility of, can you have something which is mukta, which you actually want to use, right? It's not just like, you know, Poskim will discuss things like, I don't know, iPads, right, which you wouldn't use on Shabbos, don't even use on Shabbos. But Poskim also asks the question, what about an expensive bowl, right, which not only is it usable on Shabbos, it's usable for your Shabbos table. Could that possibly be mukta? Why are they even asking that? They're asking that because what we're talking about something is the uniqueness, is that it's something which is chazi, it's something which is usable, and yet we sometimes say it's mukta, which forces us to ask the question, okay, under what circumstances are we really going to do that? There is this position in Achronim. The Orchos Shabbos has a very short summary of it, but it appears in the Chazon Ish and the Or LeZion, which I've put later on in the sources as well. What they say I find very difficult to swallow, but I'll present it. And they write as follows, right? I mean, my suggestion based on this Reb Eliyahu Fisher is that how do you deal with the contradiction? That on the one hand we know that Reb Shimon agrees that sticks and stones etim vavanim are mukta. On the other hand, the Gemara says the only exception mukta and machmas aren't kiss by saying there are two completely different types of mukta. One is mukta because it's not usable. One is mukta despite the fact that it is usable. The Chazon Ish and the Or LeZion go the other direction, which is, if Reb Shimon only agrees that Eitzim Vavanam are Mukta, and he only agrees that Mukta Machzaron Kiss is Mukta, then A equals B. And therefore, it must be, not like what I just said. The Chiddush of Mukta Machzaron Kiss is that it's the only time, despite the fact that something is obviously a Kli, and obviously usable, halachically we define it as Eitzim Vavanam. We define it as if it were unusable. And that's the Orchos, when you look at the Orchos Shabbos, it says, "V'nir da'atam, the machmas hakpeida shemakpeidin malav, yish hesach hadas gomer miktil tulo." Since you care about it because it's valuable, and therefore you put it totally out of your mind, v'arehu choser liyot keitzim avanim. She'enam yuchadim klal l'shimush adam. It's like sticks and stones that are not usable for people at all. Uva'avanim mode Reb Shimon l'ser mukta. And by stones, Reb Shimon agrees to mukta. I find this very hard to swallow. Right? Meaning, I like Reb Eliyahu Fisher's formulation much better. I think it fits it. Right? The novelty of mukta machmas karn kiss is that it is usable and is, despite that, mukta, rather than coming up and saying it's unusable. The Chazon Ish, and we'll see, the Chazon Ish and Or LeZion will both take this conception and there will be nafgaminas to it, but we'll come back to it. The third possibility, which is not satisfying at all, but it is a possibility, we've seen this Meiri before, is that there really is no rhyme or reason to this at all. And don't get hung up on the fact that it says he only agrees here. It's not true. He agrees in many different types of mukta, and the Gemara is lav dafka. And this is the Meiri. The Meiri in 5 says, "V'tzarach shateida shekol chacham modim b'isur mukta derech klal." Everyone agrees to mukta in general. El mitoch shenichlalim tachat sugo minim rabim. It's just that under mukta, there's many different types. Achiktan mefarshim in ha'um mitzahum karav l'chamishim. Right? Different mefarshim have gone as high as 50 different types of mukta. Not everyone agrees to all of them. The most lenient of all of them is Reb Shimon. When we say Reb Shimon doesn't hold of mukta, it just means usually he doesn't have mukta. Sheshar chamar meru b'hem, where other chacham said there was mukta, mikol makam moda begrov grotz v'tzimukim v'chem moda bekosuk karav ashashes, etc., etc. But he does agree with a bunch of them, right? So you have three possibilities, right? How is it possible that the Gemara says there's only one case in Kol Hashas where Reb Shimon agrees to mukta, even though we know there's more than one? So one possibility is to say there are two different types of mukta, and each has its own category. Useless mukta, Reb Shimon agrees with. Useful mukta, the only useful mukta that Reb Shimon agrees to is mukta machmas karen kis, that's Reb Leo Fisher. The Orchos Shabbos, Chazon Ish, or Letzion have a reductionist model, which is, if he only agrees in A and he only agrees in B, then A equals B, and therefore it must be that the novelty of mukta machmas karen kis is that even though it's usable, we treat halachically as if it's unusable. And the third is just to lav dafka the whole thing, which is the Meiri, which is to say, look, there's a bunch of different muktas. Reb Shimon holds of some of them. Reb Yehuda holds of more of them. Shalom al Yisrael. There is no predictive capacity to these categorizations, but that is life. Yeah.
I don't understand something. If you have, let's say, gold dishes that, you know, you use the odd time on Shabbos, not every Shabbos, but why? And yes, of course, you could.
We're going to come to that. I'm building to that. That is the Chuvas Kenei Bosem deals with the Shaila, which I have later on the sheets, but we have to get there slowly. But you're right. We have to deal with it, and we will. Okay. So, now just to review the basic sources. So where does this this come from? So I won't even read this inside, but 6 was the original Mishnah that we saw about Mokhtar, right? Kol ha-kelem yitel nechutz min ha-masar ha-gadol v'yadzer shal machresha. But in 7, right, if you go to 7, in the middle of that discussion, so the Gemara says, or slightly before that, but in the same area, the Gemara says as follows: Savor l'shanu leker Rabbi Nechemia, kevan d'shama lahad amar Rav Chanina bar Shlami mishmei derav hakolmodim besiche zire umizorin dechevan dekapitalai miachdelu makom hachin haninami miachdelu makom. Right. So the Gemara in 6 had said that, you know, once we reject muktza, there were certain things that were left over in muktza. So why? Why is it that these things are left over in the category of mukta? So the Gemara went through different possibilities, but in the middle of the discussion, the Gemara says, well, once we know, I'll just, you know, sort of simplify it here without getting to details of all these things are, once we know that there's a category called mukta machmas chisar and kis, so it's easy. We rejected all muktas, except for mukta machmas chisar and kis, and that mezer agadol, right, that big tool, that big plower, the Atet Shal Machresha, that big plowing instrument, is valuable, and therefore it's Mokta Machmas Chazar and Kis.
It's not big, it's just the peg that holds everything together. The peg? Yeah, the Meser
HaGadol
is the big saw.
Saw, and then those instruments. I can't imagine, I don't know what a plow, I mean, I sort of know what a plow looks like.
Well, you know you need a peg that's going to hold it to the harness that's on the
end. Okay, good. So that thing.
Otherwise, you're not getting it.
So the Gemara says, once we establish that's true, so we know that you can just solve it and say, all those cases where you see mukta, they're mukta machzor and kis. The Gemara says, why? Because you miyachad luhu makom, you specify a place for it. And it mar, b'chia bar'aba, mar'ab yochan, and korner shal zahavim, shanina, we're talking about the gold hammer, which is, you know, also very expensive. Very, it's
gold
a
hammer. The hammer not gold.
No, the hammer for gold, not made of gold. The gold hammer for gold. Hammer for gold. Hold gold hammer. It's a soft metal. It won't help you. Rishaman bar Abba Amar Kurnel Shel Basam Shanina, or the hammer you use for spices. Mandam Basam Kol Shegen Dizav and Mandam Shozem Basam Kapit Alayu. Right, and then Gemara says if you hold the spice one for sure, the gold one. But apparently the one that gold smiths use is less chashuv than the one of spices, so you could accept one without the other, but the principle is the same. The Gemara says, okay, everyone agrees to this category called mukta machmas chsaron kis, and the Gemara says, why is it mukta? So here the Gemara gives you its first hint, which is miyachad lu makom, you designate a place for these things, which Rashi just says, makta len biadayim. The fact that you designate a place, that indicates that you right? That you pushed it aside.
It's not that the hammer was more expensive, the spices were more expensive.
So is it that the spices are more expensive than the gold, or is it that the hammer is more expensive, is more precise? I don't think it's... Is it the spices more expensive than the gold? I mean, either way, the point is that it's... Yeah. I don't think so, is it?
I mean, they had spices that were more expensive than the gold. Saffron is always the famous example.
Right,
famous
right, I guess.
But I don't know about here.
I don't know. Okay, now... This notion of Kovei Lomakom appears as well, number 9. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ana Ein Lanu B'ner Ki Rabbi Shimon Aval Menorah Beinid L'Biyadav Achaz Beinid L'Biyadav Aser L'Taltla. By a candle, so it's permitted like Rabbi Shimon, but a menorah, but a full lamp, you can't move. The time of my Rabbi Yosef Damar Shavai, hold Adam Kovei Lomakom again, because the Gemara says you set a place for it. So the Gemara says, Amar Leah Bailer of Yosef, is that all you need to make something Mukta Machmas Chasar and Kiss? That you put it in a designated place, Varekilas Chasanim, but the canopy for a bridegroom, right? Dadam Kaveh Lo Makom, you also designate a place for it. Amar Shmuel Rishim Chikilas Chalim Mutzel and Atosam Mutzel Farka B'Shabas. It's not true. So then the Gemara goes on and offers a different option. Whether the Gemara rejected the importance of Kovei Lomakom is something we have to see. Okay, so if you look at Shulchan Aruch in number 10, Shulchan Aruch summarizes the basic halacha and says, "Kol hakelim nitalim b'Shabbos chutz mimuksa machamas chazar and kiss." All vessels, and then again, I think the language fits very well with the Rabbi Leo Fisher's formulation, right? All vessels can be moved on Shabbos except for those which are valuable. Kigon sakin shel shechita or shel mila, such as a shechita knife or one used for bris mila, v'izmo shel svarim, saparim? Which one are we on?
Sofrim. Sofrim, no?
No, the next one is sofrim.
No.
Israel, no, this is Saparim, because the next one is Shel Sofrim. Oh. Right, this is the haircutter, and then Sakin Shel Sofrim. Right, this is a razor, and the next one is Sakin Shel Sofrim. Talking about Emma Kolmosim, right? The second one is the...
Saparim.
Yeah, it's Saparim, is the shaver, and the next one is the knife of scribes that they use to sharpen their quills. Since you don't use these for other purposes, you can't move it. And then Shulchan Aruch tells you, and by the way, right, why is it important that something is defined as Mukta Machmas Chesaron Kiss and not something else? Because unlike, let's say, Klishim Lachto Le'isser, once something is in the category of Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kis, you can't even move it. Letzarach Gufo, Letzarach Makomo. The Rama writes, Vafil Tchuvim bin Adonim Shar Sakin Masal Taltlo. It doesn't matter if it's in a stand with other knives, it's Aser. Wood in the corner Shal Basamim, Shemakbin Nav Shal Yislachlech. And the same thing is true of this hammer that you use to grind spices. And the same thing is true as well, the things that you set aside for business purposes. Okay.
Number 9, the Kovei Makom. When I learned the Gemara, I learned to do it more with making it karka. Not about Mugsamakmas Chesron Kis.
So we'll see that in the Ritva what exactly is going on in that sugya. But many Poskim take that as Mukta Machzor and Kiss, right? To negate that, you have to say, no, that's not what the issue there is. Okay. Now, if you remember from right, Carmel Shear, right, it's one thing is clear, right? That Mukta Machzor and Kiss, the basic definition, right, we can outline pretty simply. It's something which is very valuable, and therefore you set aside from use. The first question the Poskim ask is, Mishnah Berurah, clarifies a little bit. You know, let's just look at that first. He just notes that Shemakbidin la vimu eno makbid lovely de mukta machmasaron kiss. Right, one point that is important to note is that this hakpada is defined subjectively. Right, so if something which most people consider valuable and therefore off limits, but you don't, so then that's fine. You're allowed to use it. And then in Zion he says, "Makbid alehem shelo yishtamish behem kidei shelo yiskalkalu." Aval eino makbid alehem afshehem miuchadim lischora v'nasim ba'otzer gam kain shar ledalta. He says, it has to be that you care about them and you don't use them. But if you don't, right, meaning they're miyuchad l'schara, but you do use them, right, for whatever reason, I don't know, you sell used things, right? You sell used things. So, you know, you use it a little, you sell used toys. You're having, let's say you're having a garage sale on Sunday, right? You're selling all your used toys. On Shabbos, you let your kids continue using the toys, right? So then the Mishnah Berurah says, that's not, right? That's not machmas schar and kiss. Right, when the Ramah says something has to be used for schora and therefore it's machmas schar and kiss, he means it's put aside for business and therefore you're not going to let anyone touch it. Obviously, if you're planning on selling it, that's not enough. That's
the
that's
stuff that's on open shelf and the stuff that's in the closed case.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Is that you know that's okay. So I put here on the top of the next page there are three questions that we need to ask about machmas schar and kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually in those cases, most of the
poskim
usually going to not allow it because maritime. You're like, right. I'm going to use something and you're going to see me use it.
You'll think that.
Okay, I can use it. Even though for you it's expensive and for me not.
Why?
Bederna.
Why? No, Mar is Ayin. Mar is Ayin.
That is so big deal.
Beduk.
Right, that's the problem. If it's a subjective test,
so what? No, no, ze lo ze inyan. Ki. מתי אנחנו מדברים במרד עין? כי שמישהו רואה משהו וחושב שאני עובר על איסור אובייקטיבי. כן? פה, במהותו, זה כל סובייקטיבי. מה זה אומר?
לא, זה... שאתה לא יודע, זאת אומרת, הבן שמסתכל...
אבל מה זה מרד עין? אז... כשאנחנו מדברים על משהו סובייקטיבי, אין שום דרך לחשוש למרד עין, כן? כי משהו, לרוב בני אדם, כן, זה משהו שכן משתמשים בו, ואני לא משתמש בזה, אז זה הופך להיות מוקצה מחמס חיסרון קץ בשבילי. אז מה אני... אז ולהפך, אם רק אני משתמש בזה, זה לא, אבל לשני הצדדים. כלומר, מה זה? זה יגרום לך להשתמש באותו דבר?
כן, למרות שאני הוא חשוב.
לא יודע, אבל אין דבר דבר סוף, אין יכול לעשות את זה.
That's how this works.
No, not when it's subjective. How are you supposed to... If something is subjective by definition, what is the slippery slope to? That you'll come to the conclusion that this might not be mukta? It might not be mukta.
לך יש צלח הזב ולי צלח הזב. לך זה מאוד מאוד יקר. אתה לא משתמש בה. אני, זה לא מפריע. ואז אתה רואה אותי, אתה אומר, מותר שאני צלח הזב בשבת. סבבה.
Nah, I don't think you can do that. Now, what's something subjective? I mean, what... It's impossible, right? If something is subjective by definition... I don't know. Right? I don't think so. Right? There's no... I can't think of any... I mean, I don't know if there are other cases. I mean, there are definitely other cases. I have to think about it.
A subjective test will always have friction with an objective view.
So yeah, but this is...
There's going to be some friction.
Right, but Mar is Ayin, which is a concern that you might get the wrong impression. When something doesn't have a set impression that you might make a mistake about, it makes it hard to apply Mar is Ayin, right? Because there is no... It's not like you're objective... You're not... This is not something...
You have to.
Because what's going to happen? You're worried that someone else who might not have my assessment of this, because it could be that someone will see it who is as rich as I am and doesn't care.
But
when does it happen? In something subjective. Something subjective.
No, I mean, in these cases, it's very much like each one, there are some things that are his. One will say, "Schora is expensive, I'm very careful about it."
Nice. You'll think that you can use all schora or whatever because you've seen this guy. Or this guy.
So what? But how do you know it's schora? Right? It's a ball. Do you know that ball is
a lot of toys? You see a garage full of toys. Okay.
So it could be the guy has a lot of toys. How do you know?
It's full. It looks like
there's definitely that's the way that merchandise is stored.
Yeah. Not in a garage sale.
מה שאני אומר, למה לא קבעו איזה כמה מסגרות אובייקטיביות? תגיד כן.
We're talking about when you do use it, not when you don't use it. Mm, right? I'm talking, in a hanami, if something's in the storage thing, you can't use it. But if you have a bunch of things thrown in your garage for a garage sale, right? In a hanami, there's not a normal way to store it. Some of us have a lot of toys, and they put it there. But how are you supposed to know? In general, I just, you know. Okay. There are three questions I think we need to ask about Mokta Machasar and Kiss. I gave you it here. One is, does it apply to... only to kelim which are melachtel lisser, meaning is it kli shel melachtel lisser plus, or even kli shel melachtel heter? Point two, which is really a clarification of that, which is, as Rav Lichtenstein always put it, right? Is hakbada atanai nachutz atanai maspik? Meaning what? Right? Sufficient or necessary condition. The Gemara had said that mukta machmas aron kis is mukta machmas aron kis because I care about it, not to use it. Now, is that sufficient to make it mukta? Meaning, if I care about something not to use it, it automatically becomes mukta. So then, right, if you go back to our first question, that means even if something is klishim lachta leheter, the very fact that I don't want to use it turns it into mukta. Or do you say, no, it's a necessary but not sufficient condition? Meaning, if something's a klishim lachta leheter, then it can't become mukta, even if I don't normally use it. It's only once something is already klishim lachta leisser, and therefore it's somewhat put aside, and then you add to it the fact that I'm super machbit about this, that I really care about it, that it becomes mukta. And the third question, you have to, these are related questions, I just divided it for clarity. The third question is, the Gemara had formulated this hakpada, this notion that I care about it, with the phrase av kviut makom, right? That I put it in a specific place. What is the role of that? There are three possibilities. One is that it's not just enough in general to care that we don't use it. You need to care so much that you put it in a designated place. Right? Possibility two is, if I care that something in a specific, is in a specific place, it automatically becomes muksa machmas chisaron kis, even if you would think that it shouldn't be because it doesn't fit any other standard of muksa machmas chisaron kis. Possibility three is that kviyat makom isn't real at all. It's just a shorthand, because usually things that people care about, you know, you care about something, you put it away in a careful place. It could be that there's something you really care about that you don't put away because I don't have the room. I'd love to put it away in a safe place, but nowhere in my house is safe. That doesn't make it not muksa machmas aron kis. Those are the three possibilities. We're going to start from number three, because it really helps clarify the first two questions. So, is Kovela Makom real or not? And what does it mean? So Tosfos, in number 12, quotes the Rashba, not the Sephardi Rashba, the Ashkenazi Rashba, meaning Rav Shimon of Shans, not the Sephardi Rashba, not Rav Shimon of Naderet. Peres Rashba, the Adam Kovea La Makom Kimo Limino Ra, and the Kilat Chasanim, right, this canopy thing, a person puts it in a specific place, just like you would a menorah, like a lamp. And even Shmuel, but even so Shmuel says mutter. Elavadai lo chashu kviyot shalav v'shal menorah kviyot eleheich dekava makom legamre. He said, how could it be? So the Rashba says, it must be that if Shmuel says it's not mukta, it's because you don't really put it in one place totally. Right, you normally leave it in one place, but you don't exclusively put it in one place. But what do you see from the Rashmi Shans that Kovei Lam Makom is a Tanai Nachutz? Right, you actually need it. Right, he says, how can it be if some, right, when and perhaps even a Tanai Maspik? Right, he says, how could it be that you could possibly say that something is not Muktzah if someone's Kovei Lam Makom? The only way is he isn't Kovei Lam Makom. But the Rosh Mishan says, yes, really, 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 mukta machmas chisaron kis. You boil it down, if something is put in a specific place and you don't move it from there, that tells you that this is mukta machmas chisaron kis. And Rashi,
as I told you, I didn't learn that mukta machmas chisaron kis. I learned this like a wall.
Right, except he's right, but he says, right, you know, I get how you could read it that way. The Rosh Mishan seems to take it, you know, I mean, he seems to be taking in the level of mukta.
Yes.
You know.
But yeah. Same. Okay, but same, I mean, mukta, wall is mukta.
Interesting. I mean, maybe that's what it's based on. I mean, that would be interesting, right? It could be, and we'll see, that there are, you know, well, okay.
Anyway, you go with your share.
Well, I'll skip for a second, right? Okay. No, so... No, so what Rayer is saying could be what the Chazon Ish is really getting at, right? I mentioned in the beginning that the Chazon Ish has a position that I don't really love, which is that Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis is really Eitzem Vavanim,
yeah.
Right? Now, how does he get to this notion the way Rayer did, which is, if you say that Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis is really, the only factor that really matters is Kviyas Makom, So then what you're really saying, how could you say that it's Eitzam Avanim? Because you care so much about putting it in a place that it becomes rooted in place, so to speak, from a halachic perspective, right? And that's what Chazanish says in 16, right? How koveh lo makom haynu she'ein metal tmolosa. Meaning you don't move it. El misham shen ba bim koma. You use it in place. The kov shekoven lo makom lo chashiv kli tiltul. Once you'd never move it, it's no longer a vessel because it never moves. Uparech mechilas chasanem umiu bekviyas makom gamur chegam ninami aser. V'chein kazem achronim de aser letaltul mo reshal shalakotel. He said, therefore, a clock is mukta. Because a clock stays in place, and therefore it becomes like the wall, and therefore it is not a kli, and therefore it's mukta. That's the Chazanish's perspective on it. Now, this notion of mukta of a kfiyas makom being really a real factor. If you look at 13, right, Rashi seems to hold this way because every time he talks about it, he says at the end of the line, "Dahana kapital ayum yachlu makom." Now the Rajba, the Sfardi Rajba now in 14 also seems to think that kfiyas makom is the real factor. And if you look at the end of it, he says v'yechevan shum yachda lema'osav adam koveh lo makom umakta osa ligamre midaito makta mechzar. Since you give it a place, that's what makes it that it's pushed aside. The Rosh Yosef says that the Rosh Yosef then the Prima Gadim. Notes that, right, if you go back to our three questions, right? So, first, we have the group of thinkers who think that kfiyat makom is in fact necessary. But they also seem to think it's not just necessary, but it's sufficient. It's a necessary and sufficient clause. Why? Let's work backwards, right? It's necessary and sufficient because all you need is hakpada. Right, this specific type of hakpada, this is a specific type of concern, and that makes something mukta. But this leads almost inevitably to the claim that mukta machmas karen kis will apply even to a klishim lachta laheter. Because once you say that what makes it mukta is simply that I care about it so much and I leave it in place and it doesn't move, and if it doesn't move, it's halachically defined as not usable. So then it doesn't matter whether the kli is usable or not. Right? Once you say that simply putting it in place and leaving it there bikviut makes it mukta, so then you answer all three questions. You need kviut makom, that's a necessary and sufficient clause, and it'll apply even to a kli shemalach delahet there, because once I've designated a place and it can never move, so then it doesn't matter that theoretically it's usable. For a halachic perspective, it's not. And that's what the Rosh Yosef says in 15. Dafilu klishim lachdol heter nami kosher koveh lo makom machmas chashivuse mukta dechisaron kis have. Yeah.
What would you say if it's like, let's say, these dining room hutches that have a lock, a key? Would that make it absolute?
A dining room what?
You know, these where you put the fancy break fronts.
Okay.
And they often have a lock.
Right.
Would that make it absolutely clear that it's off limits?
I think so.
Even
without locking it, I think, according to this.
But I'm saying
it depends what you keep there. I mean, I don't know.
Are there like levels here?
I mean, if you keep there things you take out every week, you just store it there for nice, then because it's nice.
Why don't they require sort of a lock? In other words, if you have a lock on it, that means.
But why do you.
What does a lock demonstrate?
Yeah.
A lock could just demonstrate you're afraid people are going to steal it, right? Not that I really want it there.
In your own house.
Yeah, no, Hanami. What do you mean? The Sefer Torah, we lock it. It's not because we don't want to move it. It's because we're afraid that if we leave it unlocked, someone will steal it, right? Just because something's under lock and key doesn't mean that it's not usable, right? That it's not just theoretically usable. It's not practically usable, right? Sefer Torah.
Yes, it could be. Because people have a lock on their door.
Yeah, but they have a safe. People have a safe, I don't think locking alone.
You have to ask the obvious question.
So why is that not mukta makom?
What's the obvious question?
What?
Why is it
sifrei kisvei hakodesh or sfar? Right, sfar merah. That's why.
But you have to ask the obvious question, right? If the fact that it's that your koveh lo makom is really planting it, so to speak, then why do we tie this to Kovei Lamakom Machmas Chashivuso? It should be true for anything you're Kovei Lamakom for,
correct,
regardless of why you do it.
Correct, and we will see, right? That
my dining room table, I never move it. Not because of its Chashivus, but because it's big and heavy, and it's where I want it to be.
That's what the Chazon Ish holds. And that's what the Chazon Ish holds, a clock.
But it has nothing to do with Chashivuso then.
Correct.
Sure it does.
Not necessarily.
You don't break it.
Not necessarily. A clock just doesn't move. Right, according to him.
That goes back to what I said, that it's really not related to Cheson Kiss, it's related to being carcass, related to no longer.
Again, I admit that that's basically the way the Chazon Ish sees the sugya. I've also, you know, said since the beginning that I said there are nafkaminas to the Chazon Ish. And he emerges from what you're saying. I don't know if I buy it. I don't know if I buy the Chazon Ish, but you're right. I mean, there is a, he's not the only one, right? There's a whole tradition post-game that take this assessment. That's why, yeah, the Chazon Ish says, that clock, right? It's not, what is it, $5, right? But the Chazon Ish says, oh, right? It's, it's a Morish Ochalakotel. He's not, right? I remember when Rai Lau was here, right? He said, no, a clock on a wall is not mukta. It's only a grandfather clock. The Chazon Ish says, no, a Morish O, right? Shal HaKotel. We're not talking grandfather clock. We're talking your $5 clock you get at Walmart that you put on the wall and never move. The Chazon Ish says, right? Zo.
You have $5 clocks in days of Chazon Ish.
Fine. But well, it might not be the issue because he said it's about makom, right? If it's about makom, it's about makom.
I mean, he dropped the words machmas chashivusa, which someone have mentioned.
Okay, the Ravan as well is on this camp, and he writes Ezerim, shasun kain kisin ulamot miyuchadin veniach behen mod afo bishotin mer shabbos near a lead also taltlam b'shabbos the amar of huna mita shiich the lamos veniach lamos also taltala. Be Shabbos. I've switched out of it. The Ravan, on the other hand, goes to the opposite extreme, right? Until now, we've seen the Shita that Kfiyus Makom is necessary and sufficient, right? The Ravan goes to the opposite extreme. He says not necessary at all, right? Because if you have a wallet, right? A wallet is, which is Miuchad, for money is, right, now you always move your wallet, right? A mallet is not something you don't move, but on the other hand, it is something that is designated for valuable things. He says it is mukta. The Rama in 18 says, also tal kish shomos, afal pisha hotzi amos, mimenu bibodyom, right? You can't move a wallet even if you took the money out. Elim kain asobo maisa, shepazakomada vasilkomina yichud, unless you do something actively to show that, right, you don't want it to be a wallet anymore. V'chein no'agin. Mir l'tzarech gufo. Oh, l'tzarech makomo, mutter. But he says, but you're allowed to move it. L'tzarech gufo, l'tzarech makomo. Right, which is... So, first of all, you see that the Rama, right, paskins like the Ravan. On the other hand, he introduces this weird heter, because the wallet seems to be mukta machmas chasar and kiss. And yet, the Rama writes that you can move it, l'tzarech gufo, l'tzarech makomo, which breaks the rules. So the Magen Avram jumps on him, and he says, Sarachion, darash kasav demita, dami l'sichei zirei mezorei. Right? The Rama is based on the Ravan. And the Ravan compared a wallet to a bed that has money on it. And the Rush writes that a bed with money on it is like all the cases of machmas chasar and kiss. The chayven de kapital ayam miyachad lu makom. That since I care about it, I designate a place for it. V'im kein afilu l'tzarech gufo usur, and therefore it should be mukta machmas chisaron kiss. And if it's mukta machmas chisaron kiss, it should be usur l'tzarech gufo ule tzarech megomo v'chein kasev haravon. That's what the Ravon himself says. V'chein nirali lahachmir, and therefore I think it is lahachmir. So the Magen Avram, right, goes to the opposite extreme, like the Ravon, and says no. A wallet, you move it around all the time, okay, but it generally stores valuable things, and therefore it becomes mokta machasar and kiss, and therefore the simple hakpada due to its value means that you can't move it, and therefore it's mokta machasar and kiss, it's also tzarech gufo, tzarech makomo. But the Beis Meir defends the Rama. And the Beis Meir says, b'mita dikte karabenu tam v'harash, mishum dimiachad lu makom, makbid alav. Rabbi Natam and the Rosh say that since you designated a place, you care about it. Very veidum yedasichim is erdish ben mukta machlan kis kanal barajba. Avol kis kaze shikorin bay gartol. Hainina rose in and makbid alavli miachad lumakam. Right, you see that people don't care. So what do you get? Right, so you have. First, you have the first group of Rishonim and the Chazon Ish and the Rosh Yosef who say, Mukta Machzor and Kis, the only thing that matters is Rimiachadu Makam or not. That's it, right? That makes it Eitzim Vavanim. The other extreme, you have the Ravan. And the Ravan says no, right? And this is how the Mogen Avraham takes the Ravan, that no, it's only about value, and therefore, even if it's something that's normally moved, if it's extremely expensive, the fact that it's you're makbid on it to make sure you know where your wallet is, you hope, right? Whatever, that makes it mukta. The Beis Meir defends the Rama and says, the Beis Meir defends the Rama and says, look, there's really a middle case, right? There's a middle case. There are things which are mukta, right, that are valuable, but you're not makbid on mako. And therefore, they might be mukta, but they're not true mukta machmas chisar and kiss. Because to be true mukta machmas chisar and kiss, which is also tzarch gufu tzarch makomo, the Beis Meir argues, the Rama holds like the Rosh Mishans. And therefore, something can only be true mukta machmas chisar and kiss if you're miyachad lu makom. So how is a wallet mukta at all? So presumably, there are things that are mukta due to value, right, that makes it not a mukta machzor and kis, but a klishim lachta lisser or something like that. Right, the Beis Meir essentially says in the Rama, you have to be careful because if something is valuable enough that you're miyachid makom, so then it's true mukta machzor and kis, and it's also litzarkuv litzarkuv makomo. But if something is normally set aside because it's valuable, but it's not set aside in such a way that you move it, then it's not muksa machmas. It's not real muksa machmas haran kits. It's a klish malach b'lisser.
Isn't the Rama talking about a kish shemos that the mos are no longer there?
Correct. And
so what, it's not machmas ches from kits. It's machmas klish malach b'lisser.
Well, it's a basis that is that should be meaning. It's a basis issue, sort of, yeah, which we'll come back to in basis. But the Magen Avraham says it's a basis to something. Or the general halacha is that basis takes on the status of whatever.
Hey, that's
but the beginning probable. Of
Shabbos, that's one way to look at
Basis. But the beginning of Shabbos was not a Basis. The Hotzi Mosmo.
No, it was, because this is within the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, that something which is Miyuchad becomes defined by what it normally carries, even if the thing isn't there.
Right.
Right? We're gonna come back to the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. But
I think here you can assumption, according to the Rama, that the wallet himself, you cannot use it at all for other things.
You can use it, but he said it's still tzarach gufo tzarach makomo.
He's a
clear tzarach lo lisol. No, that's what he says. If it's a tzarach gufo tzarach makomo,
that means it's only a tzarach lisol.
כן, אז עכשיו זה לא, זה, זה לא כלום. כלומר, אתה מראה שאתה רוצה להשתמש בו. כן? כן, אז זה מותר, זה כלי שמחת להתר.
הוא ראש לך לפתוח מלמטה.
But he's saying, he
took כן, לא, זה להפוך את זה לכלי שמחת להתר.
נכון, בעצם כבר זה כבר לא יקרה ארנק.
כן, ודאי, אבל הוא אומר, לא, אז זהו, אבל מי הוא, זה חוזר לראש. כלומר, אם לא עשית את זה, אז עדיין במעמד הראשון שלו, זה מותר לצורך גופו, לצורך מקומו. So what you get is the Beis Meir, right? So what do you have? Chazon Ish, Rosh Yosef, Rosh Mishans, right? Rajba, the Beis Meir within the Rama, right? This is a Mechubad group, right? They say, Mukta Macham Saran Kis is about Miyachad Humakom. If you're not Miyachad Humakom, it's not real Mukta Macham Saran Kis. And therefore, how do you explain the wallet case? It must be that a wallet could also be Klish Malach Lisser. Fine. Then you have the Magen Avraham and the Ravan, who say, what are you talking about? Mukta Machzor and Kis isn't Eitzim Vavanim, right? It's not that it's your Machad Lumakom. It's that you're machbid on it. That's it. You're machbid. And therefore, you could have something which you're machbid on, you move all the time. Right? It's still going to be muktzah, machmas, chisaron, kis. If you look at 21, the Rishon Zalman says, Shamati Megon Rishon Zalman, Orbach Shlita, the Chavanas Abbeis, now it's Zatzal, the Chavanas Abbeis Meir Lomar, Shumakbet Al Kol Shinui Makom, Shalol Litzarech. The Rishon Zalman, and I'm not sure he's right, right? Rishon Zalman says that Makbet on Makom means that you don't move it for no reason, right? I mean, that's sort of true, right? Even the most valuable thing in the world, you'll move it for something. But, like, the Chazon Ish's, you know, perspective is, I don't know, right? It sounds a bit softer than the Chazon Ish, right? The Chazon Ish is like, no, it's like, you put a clock on it, you don't move it for any reason. Now, I guess even the Chazon Ish would admit that sometimes I move the clock, right, to change the time when we change the clocks twice a year.
No, he's very clear, the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says you don't move it in the course of its use. That's all he said.
Right. Maybe that's what it is, right? Okay. But there you get, right, so you get these two, right, you get these two perspectives. If you go to the Pnei Yoshua in 22, two or let's say 2.5, right? Because you have the pure Koveh Makom Svara, even if it's not valuable. Right, you get the base mayor within the Ramah. You know, besides the Chazon Ish, right? Everyone else seems to talk about something which you don't move because it's valuable, not just you don't move stam. Then you get the Magen Avraham, who says no, it's not about that at all. It's simply about value, right? It's about value, not about makom. And one of the nafkaminas to this, as we've already seen in Rosh Yosef, is can you say that a kli shemalach do leheter is going to be mukta machmas chasar and kis? Right? If you think that it's about makom and makom alone, then yes, you can say that something could be kli shemalach do leheter and still be mukta machmas chasar and kis. If you think that it's about value and your value makes you machbid on it, it's much harder to say that because if something is usable and valuable, right, you're not machbid on it enough just because of its value, right? You don't have this magic miyachad lum makom. If you look in Pnei Yoshua in 22, Pnei Yoshua says as follows, on the menorah v'chilas chasanim d'halcha shemalachton leheter, right, that canopy and the menorah that are malachton leheter, k'mash gozo le'el, d'ner menorah lo mikri malachton le'isr. Kevin Shanosin Malacha Bagufa Kli Elabasis Belma Who Davdu Chemat Zalahadir Shigando Rashwa Mimam Pilier. So, right, the Rosh Yosef, if you remember before, the right Rosh Yosef assumed that the Kilas Chasanim is, in the end of the day, a Klisha Malachto Leheter. And therefore he said, you see that you can have Muksam Macham Chasar and Kis, which is Klisha Malachto Leheter, because the only thing that matters is Kfiyas Makom. Pnei Yeshua says, that clearly was the assumption at the beginning of the sugya. But then he continues, V'od al karchach mimkomo mukhra misugya d'shmais and gufa d'yisak adak d'minorah nami mikra malach d'lisser imkein my maksha bayach minkilat chasanim davade malach d'leheter hu. Right in the Havamina, it's clear that we're talking about malach d'leheter because we talk about a kilas chasanim and we assume the menorah is like kilas chasanim, which there's no isser involved in it. But then he says it can't be. El al karcha kedepricious. The menorah nami mikri malachto leheter. No, sorry. Nami mikri malachto leheter. Right? The Gemara says, yes, that was the question. Right? The Gemara, until Abaye said, klisha malachto leheter can be mukta machzor and kis. But then Abaye came and said, really? Right? The Rosh Yosef read this as the maskana. The Pnei Yeshua says, no. The reason you bring up the case of the Kilas Chasanim is because Abaye can't believe that this is true. El al karchach, the malach lo hetter lo shayach lasam shum kviyas makom. He goes in the opposite direction. He says, Abaye, when he asked it, he wasn't accepting the assumption. He was rejecting it. He was saying, what you're saying is absurd. Because if something is malach lo hetter, I don't care if you're koveh lo makom. It's a klisha malach lo hetter. And therefore, I don't care if it stays in place. It's a kli. And therefore, the Pnei Yeshua comes to the opposite conclusion. And in 23 as well, he says, "Nihid the kalim shemalachtan leisrael letzoch gufan amakomon shari." Heinu mishum dechazir l'tashmi shachrine. Mashen kein bahanach the kapital and machad lo makom sulu chazir l'tashmi shachrine. He says explicitly, "Mukta machmuk saran kiss is a subsection of kli shemalachto leisrael." And what's the logic? Because a normal kli shemalachto leisrael, I don't normally use it on Shabbos, but I will. Right, a hammer, I won't use it normally. But I'll use it if I need to crack nuts. But an expensive hammer that I use for gold, I'm not going to use to crack open nuts. So, as I said before, you see the connection between these three questions. Right? You see, the Chazon Ish, let's take as the extreme of this approach, says, Kviyas Makom is necessary and sufficient. Why? Because it's a type of Hakpada, which is, again, a sufficient condition for Mukta Machmas Chasaran Kis. Why does it work? Because he says the way Mukta Machmas Chasaran Kis works is by giving something a place, I transform it into Eitzim V'Avanim, I take away the shame Kli. And therefore, what follows from that, as the Rosh Yosef says, is that Kli Shemalach, that Mukta Machmas Chasaran Kis applies even to Kli Shemalach to Leheter. And the other extreme, the Pnei Yeshua, says, what are you talking about? If something is a kli shemalachto leheter, it's usable. If it's usable, it's impossible for you to be makbid on it enough. He says, kviyas makom is meaningless. What is mukta machos chazaran kis? It's a level of akbada. Why is a level of akbada necessary? Because if you take a kli shemalachto leiser, so normally I don't use it, but I will use it if a reason comes up. But that means it's that fact that I'll use it if a reason comes up that makes it that I'm allowed to move mukta machmas, that I'm allowed to move kli shemalach to list or letzarch kuf letzarch makomo. But if it's also valuable, I'm not going to use it letzarch gufo letzarch makomo. Well, I'm not going to use it letzarch gufo, right? If I'm not going to use letzarch gufo, it's a kli shemalach to lit iser without the possibility of letzarch gufo, and therefore it turns into mukta machzaran kis. In parentheses, I will throw this out, but Rayer has already dealt with this question. The Pnei Yeshua is assuming, like that Shita and Rishonim, that if a kli shemalachto le'isser is not going to be used letzarach makoma letzarach gufo, then you can't even move it letzarach makoma, right? Because you might move something which is valuable, right? But the Pnei Yeshua says no, right? Once something is valuable and I won't use letzarach gufo, it becomes mukta machzaran kis, and therefore mukta machmas, it will be also even letzarach mikomo. The Rush in 24 says elu dina mukta machmas melach then shumut letzarach gufo letzarach mikomo kevin sheish lav toras kli v'yesh tavar mukta machmas melach then v'hu kim mukta machmas gufo v'hu machmas machzaran kis kikurnas has a havim b'sam shas l'taltal fi letzarach gufo. The Rush is explicit like the Pnei Yeshua that there are certain muktas which are, right, it's a subcategory of mukta machmas, of kli shemalachto le isur, that it only works under those circumstances. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch Rav in 25, and he as well, he says, v'kolakim shem om l'schar revu, makman alem shel shamashem shem tashmish, afal pi she'enam kelma yikarim biyoser, v'ein zarech lomar kelma yikarim biyoser, afal pi she'enan l'schar rav, that it's only malachtam leisur v'zeonikra mukta machzaran kis. Right, the Shulchan Aruch Rav as well takes this perspective. Okay. The big modern posek who really doesn't believe that kviyas makom is important at all is Ramosha Feinstein. If you just skip to 29, Ramosha just tells you lo beinan yichud makom. You don't need.
Right,
right? Right? So again, what do you have? You have chazanish at one side, which is, if you're miyached makom, it's mukta, whether or not it's valuable. Ramosh at the other extreme, it's all about value and akbada, it's not about makom. And then we saw in the middle, right, all these people said, no, it's miyached makom because of value, right? Because, right, it's not just any, right? It's not just any old, you don't move it, right? It's that you're miyached makom because of value. The only way to say the extreme of the Chazon Ish is to say that it's about Eitzim Vavanim, right? To say Ramosha, you say, look, this is nothing to do with Eitzim Vavanim. The point is, this is a kli, and extreme caring about it makes it mukta, not because it's unusable, but because it's valuable. You put it aside, it's mukta. The middle position, right, that is the Pnei Yeshua's, right? Look, it's a kli shemalachdo le'isser, which normally I would move l'tzarach gufo l'tzarach makomo, but I won't move this l'tzarach gufo because I'm not going to use it, and I won't move it l'tzarach makomo because I'm miyached lo makom. And therefore, miyached lo makom is relevant, right? It's just that it's relevant because of value, right? It's not going to be relevant by itself. It's relevant when you combine everything together, and therefore you get these you know, three positions, whatever you want to call it. Okay, we have 5 minutes left. So let me summarize what happens here from 30 to 33. The majority of poskim take the position. This is based on 26 and 27, which is Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, that kli shemalachto le'isser, that mukta malchus aron kis can only be a kli shemalachto le'isser. And then they seem to contradict themselves. Because those same poskim, and this happens in the Yalkut Yosef, and it happens in Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, say that if something is omid l'schora, it's automatically mukta machmas chasar and kiss. Now the poskim say why? I mean mamanav shach. Do you take the position that it can mukta machmas chasar and kiss isn't really about is you know has to be klisha malach the lister and it's not about yichud makom by itself or not? How can you say both that it's only a klisha malach the lister but schora because you're miyachad lo makom is mukta even if it's klisha malach do leheter? So one way of saying it is, look, they contradict themselves, right? But the other way is just skip all the way to 32, right? This is the short version of it. The Az Nidbaru summarizes it and says, look, ein kan shnei sugim, there's not two types of, don't say it's a contradiction, and also don't tell me there are two levels to of mukta machmas chisar and kiss. Really, 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 the poskim seem to take a middle approach, which is, and the Moreno called this the Shita Harmonit of the Poskim, right? The harmonious Shita of the Poskim, which is as follows. Ein mashem lach l'isser koveya b'mukta machlus haron kis mitzad etzem ha-mukta. Ela shem haisem lach l'leheter afilum kli yakar kevin sheroi l'ishtamish ba'izet tash m'sheter lo shach m'yach l'um makom. Mumelum yutsur kli shel heter ela shein also letaltal shlo yiskalkol omene yokro o kovdo have a mukta machmas chzarn kis. He said it's really one principle. Mukta machmas chzarn kis is something that I won't move because it's valuable. There's two ways to get to that goal. One is it's a kli shemalach del iser. If something's a kli shemalach del iser, I'm already not going to use it. Usually. I only used it if a reason comes up. But if it's valuable, no reason would come up that would shake me from my desire to leave it on the side. But there are some things that are usable, but the hakpada is so high that even though they're klishim lach l'heter, I won't use them, namely, schora. And therefore, the majority of poskim, Rosh Shlomo Zalman, the Yalkut Yosef, the Az Nidbaru, the Archos Shabbos I gave you in 33, end them coming up with this hodgepodge position, which is not really a hodgepodge, right? It's much more elegant to say the way they do it at Eretz Chemda. It's harmonious, right? Is to say, the poskim reject the Chazon Ish, right? They say it's not about yichud makom. It's about hakpada because of value. That expresses itself in two ways. One is, under most circumstances, something which is a klisha malachto leheter can't be muktzah machmas chasar and kiss, because I'm going to use it. Klisha malachto leiser, once you add value to it, so it's not usable. But there are cases of klisha malachto leheter which are so off limits that even though they're klisha malachto leheter, they're going to be muktzah machmas chasar and kiss, and that is things that I've put in the category of merchandise. Because once it's merchandise, even though it's klisha malachto leheter, I've put it out of my mind as a kli. In my mind, it's not a kli anymore. It's something I'm going to sell. Its use isn't that I'm going to use it. Its use is that I'm going to sell it. And that's sort of the harmonious view that the post can take. And again, I gave you all these sources. I'll just mention the nafkamin. I won't read this Kenei Bosem inside. The Kenei Bosem says, what's the nafkamina to all this discussion? And this is what Jerry had said before, and that's why I just want to mention it now, is what happens if you have a really, 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 really expensive wine decanter, right? So even though it's miuchad for things that you normally would do on Shabbos, to drink wine, you never take it out. Is it muksa or not? So at first he said, well, according to Chazon Ish, yes. But he says, but according to the majority of poskim, no. Because according to the Chazon Ish, I never touch this decanter, right? Maybe once in 10 years I do, but that's not enough to make it not muktzah. According to everybody else, no, a decanter is, it's not schora, so it's not totally off limits. It's just that it's super valuable, so I don't normally take it out. But let's say that special guest showed up on Shabbos. For this reason, I've held on to it. It's a klisha malachta leheter. It's not that I never use it. It's just rare that I use it. But it's a klisha malachta leheter. And it's not schora, so it's not totally off limits. And therefore, the Kenei Bosem says, lo ol al dashum adam, except the chanesh, right, that such a decanter would be mukta.
What if you had this mind if somebody offered me enough money for it?
That's schora. Okay.
That's why the Torah would be okay, or the
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay.